This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here to cover the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 10. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me tonight is Grace. How are you doing, Grace?
Good. Taryn, don't get me wrong. You do annoy me, but you've won me over by just being relentless. So,
thank you. Yeah.
Every day you're podcasting, you're relentless.
Yeah, I just, you know, every week we record Raised by Wolves, and, you know, I keep making eye jokes, and eventually I wore you down.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. My favorite alliance of all time. They clearly hate each other. It's great.
Yeah. We are here to talk about the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 10. We are not live, unlike how we normally do things. So this is a weird situation, right? In the past, we have not had Wednesday night recaps while the Survivor season is on because Survivor comes on, the know-it-alls is happening, so much going on. And instead, we've kind of like relegated the recap to the update, just kind of touching on the recap in the update. But, you know, we're trying something new here tonight. Yeah. We're going to be recording this and releasing it once it is recorded so that you can listen to it after the know-it-alls if you want. Hopefully, it'll come out right around that time, but that's what we're doing tonight. I will also be recording with Grace about Survivor. We'll do the Survivor stock watch together after we record this. Now, it'll probably be a bit shorter than normal just because, again, you know, we're not getting to this right after the episode, and you know, we've never had a ton of Wednesday night coverage for Canada anyway, but we're gonna try it out. We're gonna try something new. We're just gonna do like a quicker, you know, leaner update or recap. We're going to see how it goes. Try something new.
I'm very excited to pilot this out with you, Taryn.
Yes. Great. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the episode. Because I actually think that, you know, I actually felt like this was the best episode of the season so far.
Yeah. Yeah. That was particularly strong. Yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly saying much, but,
yes.
But it was true. The first episode where it felt like it had room to breathe, and it actually like sort of broadened the scope of the people that we were looking at, because, you know, the first two episodes were the first two episodes, and then on Monday night's episode was so focused on Marty and the HOH and the nominations that it just suffocated everything else, it felt like. But in this episode we got to know a lot of the other people on the cast, which was really nice. As you referred to Kevin and Jess, we got to see from them. We got to see more from Betty. We got to see Josh and Jay's relationship, which is super nice. Mm-hmm. We got to see a little bit of villain Kyle. Was starting to come out, I think, a little bit.
Yes.
And all kinds that we saw from Summer finally. Some great stuff here, Grace.
Yeah, I thought this is good. You know, I feel like my big worry, knowing, you know, the last few episodes, that there's a big alliance forming, and they are not in power this week, but it felt like they kind of still, you know, are kind of controlling the game. And this felt like an episode where it was like, okay, who else is around on the outskirts of that big alliance, and let's focus on them this episode. Like, let's get some insight into what they're doing. And because it feels like normally it would be like, yeah, let's focus on the big alliance. We know that they're going to, like, you know, just move forward through the game as a unit potentially. And so let's focus on everybody else around them. I thought was like a really great choice. So it's fun.
Yes. I think the only thing I was missing was I wanted more moose.
Yeah, more moose. There's not very much moose here. Yeah.
Give me more moose. More moose, yeah. All the time.
And more showman segments.
Yeah.
We got one.
Yeah, we did.
Could have used at least three more.
I mean, that's what we're here for, as Tanisha let us know. That's right. It's you let those showmances in and they just...
I'm actually just going to slither through. I'm
just
going to
slither through.
That's great. Yeah.
That, the way he says that, I don't know why, it just makes me think of BioShock. I don't know if you've ever played BioShock. You know the merchant vendors, like the
slither through. Yeah,
I feel like that. It's that voice. We got to see some stuff from Jacy, Jace, as they call her in the house. Apart from just the showmance, which was nice. Which is, I actually liked what she said in the episode, which was that, you know, she was nominated, which is a wake up call. That what she's been doing is not enough and that she needs to be doing more. And it was nice to hear this from her in the episode, because it is something I've noticed on the feeds, is that she is like Jess, I guess, relentless in just trying to talk game with people. Even when they're not super receptive at first, she keeps going and she keeps trying, and she is trying to play and make connections. She's not always succeeding, but I appreciate the effort.
It's interesting because I feel like I am not a huge live feed watcher. I listen to your updates, but like the impression that was given on the show, right, is that like her and Stephanie were kind of like in their own little world on Talking Game. So interesting to see that that's actually not kind of the case. She's actually trying very hard, and it's just not being very successful. And so yeah, being nominated, it's a good wake up call to say, okay, that's not quite working. How can I pivot? It's us kind of lucky that she gets nominated here.
In a way, yeah, especially because obviously the veto result is going to work out here. But that was good. Again, seeing Summer was great. I don't know about these affirmation practices, though. Does this strike you as affirmations or just like you suck, stop being so bad?
Yeah, not really. Like, I feel like the affirmations are normally like for yourself. So I don't know. They don't really seem like affirmations so much as like critiques. So
yeah.
Yeah.
What would be your affirmation?
Oh, I feel what would I say? I feel like you just go with the classic regular adjectives, you know, and you're smart, you're funny, you know, that you just, you know, then you're not giving too much away. It's like, that feels really generic, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're great at podcasting. People want to listen to you. Yeah, don't let them tell you you can't. People want a Wednesday night recap that's 30 minutes. That's what they want, Taryn. Don't doubt yourself.
A bite-sized recap. It sounds great. It's going to be like 15 minutes for me because I listened to 2X. It'll be great. Yeah.
Yes. So we got that. We also had, as you mentioned, the a bit of a showman segment. We're just continuing to feed into this as it grows. You know, I guess this is theoretically the most interesting part of the showmans, right? Is when they're like developing it, because once they've developed it, it's like, all right, we get it.
Yeah, then when they're official, you know, it's not very exciting. Yeah. That becomes too much. This is the good part of the Jim and Pam part of The Office.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People on Big Brother, this is a lesson. This is something that I just came up with. But showmances, for as much as the super fan audience is not the biggest necessarily, well, sometimes they are, but some they're not fond of showmances in theory. They often still like the showmances.
Right.
But the casual audience is definitely a big fan of the showmances. And here's how you optimize your showmance potential with the audience, right?
Yes.
Take a lesson from sitcoms.
Yes.
Will they, won't they? It.
Will they, want the whole time. Will
the
they,
whole time.
The whole time. Never really commit. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
That's what you have to do. And then you get off the show and then just post pictures together a lot, but still don't confirm anything.
Yeah.
Like, are they or aren't they?
As soon as it like you could do that for like 7 years, and then the moment you're like, we're together, like, well, I hate them now.
Exactly.
It's really, yeah, that really is key. Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see where all of that goes. How do you feel about the how they pick the veto players? We've got a wheel now.
It's so silly, and I love it. I think it's so over the top. I like that they're trying something new. Just picking a thing out of the bag. So boring. Yeah, spin a giant wheel. It's great.
I agree. I feel like it's very fun. It's I mean, people have always been like, oh, when they pick them out of the bag, are they cheating? No, they're not. But at least now I don't have to listen to those theories anymore. Are they waiting the wheel?
is that slice a little bit bigger than the other slices?
It is
a lot of production design, though, because they're going to have to, they already have removed some. How many times do they will, like, the outtakes, right, where they spin it, lands on a name that's already been called, or like for whatever, right. You know.
Yeah, like a blank space, maybe, yeah. Or, and I imagine there's also like what, Price is Right rules, where you have like, you got to have a full rotation.
Right.
You can't be trying to like,
that'll actually,
oh, look, it's me. Whoops.
Yeah. I think I already did see some blanks. I think whoever,
I think so.
I think Melina is off of the veto spinner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fun though. I like it. It's great.
Yeah. I feel like I do have a couple of small critiques. One is that, when we had the overhead shot, it took me a while to find like, where's the pointer?
Yeah.
Like it was very small little red arrow. And then, the second thing was just like the editing of like, the fun thing about a wheel like that, and The Price is Right gets this right, is that as it spins, it slows down and it gets more and more tense. And it's like, oh, where's it going to go? Oh, is it going to go there? Oh, no, it's going. It's going. Ah, it's there. Yeah. And they lose all that tension when you like, you're not looking at the wheel. You're looking at people. And then you cut to the wheel right as it stops. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah. The most exciting part about The Price is Right is like when they're spinning the big giant one and it like, it's like, it's about to be a dollar. No, it's not a dollar. You know? Yeah. That's the best part. They have to capitalize on that.
Yeah. It's a small tweak with the editing there. But
their first go around, technically second, but their first go around.
Yeah. They just skipped it entirely.
I know. Yeah. I was like, did I miss the big wheel last week? Like there's no way.
Was there anything else from the first half of the episode before we got to the veto that stood out to you?
No, I mean, I thought Josh and Jay,
their
conversation is really great. I mean, like this is, a thing about like representation on TV. You're often like, in the early days of Big Brother, the early days of Survivor, you're the only like LGBTQ person, the only person there. And so for them to like have sort of, have each other, there's so, I think, don't need to continue to spout that like Canada has such great diversity in their cast, but they do really have great diversity in their cast. And it's really nice to see. I thought this segment was great. So
it was really, I mean, and we've seen some of this on the feeds, but I feel like, it's basically since the feeds have been up, Jay has been either about to be nominated or nominated. And so their interactions since the feeds have come up have been very focused on that. So it was nice to see what I presume to be, some of the stuff from before that happened, that where they bonded, and they've had some sweet moments on the feeds as well this week, and so it's really nice to see. And I really liked Josh is so funny to me, because Josh, I feel like I was hearing Josh speak more in the episode than I ever see him speak on the feeds. He's in some ways like Gino in that way. But
I feel like he looks a lot like Gino. Has this comparison been made? He kind of looks like Gino.
They're kind of similar. It's very strange that, they're in very different positions in the game, but they have very similar kind of like, they're very, both very good looking, both very like, I feel like, charming when they do talk, but they're both pretty soft spoken, and they don't really talk too much. I think the difference is that a lot of people go to Gino, and I think Gino is a little more active ultimately, but
sure.
I really liked this from Jay and Josh, where Jay was like, do I have friends in real life? No. Am I okay with that? And Jay's like, yes. And Josh is like, no. And Jay's like, have you come out of this show with at least one more friend? And Josh goes, no.
Well, you know, basically, you know,
it's like,
is he joking? Is he like very, very dry sense of humor?
I think he just like he was doing his own thing and he wasn't like catching what Jay was putting down.
Right.
They were just very
like me,
not in
like
sync.
Me. I'm like, no, I haven't really made any friends in here.
Very not in sync in that moment. Two people that are in sync, though, as you mentioned, Kevin and Jess.
Do I think Jess is playing particularly well? Not entire. I feel like she's totally fine this week. I think, we know that she is fine this week. I don't know if I feel like Kevin walks out of that conversation, like maybe Kevin is like the only person this would work on, but I feel like it was just like so actually mean. Like, when she's like, are you gonna like we? And we, you should not spend this much time with me. And he's like lingering at the door, you know. And he like goes say goodbye, but you don't actually leave the party, you know. And she's like, no, you actually have to leave. Like, do you want me to leave?
No, they do that all the time. That's Jess's thing. Is they're constantly like, oh, you gotta get out of here. Like literally on the update today, I was talking about a conversation they were having where they were like, Marty, get out. You've been in here for too long.
That is why probably if I've been using the wrong pronoun. I think I've been using the wrong pronouns.
They do prefer that. Yeah.
Right. It's the right thing with like the wrong tact to do it. You know,
that's very Jess. That's that kind of sums Jess up a lot, I think.
Yeah. Like, you know that it's the thing you're supposed to do. And you're not actually doing it in a way that's furthering the cause of what you're trying to get out of it, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
And yes, we do get this this line.
Don't get me wrong. You annoy me.
You just worn me down with your relentless.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And Jess also says this about Kevin.
That kid's money.
It's money. I'm not sure. I guess. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think of Kevin's game? I mean,
it's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah,
it's definitely interesting. I feel like he is in an okay spot moving forward, but you know, it's a tricky game to maintain, and he's very expendable. A lot of people are looking at him as like, oh, he's somebody that we can use to take shots. As soon as they realize that that's not gonna work, like what happens, right? Good thing is that he's not the only one playing that game. Jess is also playing that game. Sure. Helena, who we also saw, is also playing that game. I love that we got a bit from Helena tonight as well.
Yeah.
Where we heard from her of saying that, you know, hey, keeping Jay around could be great for me. Big distraction. I'm here for $100,000. And I love seeing this side of Helena because she is another person who is definitely playing a character in the game a lot of the time, very much like the like, oops, oh man, I'm so clumsy. What am I doing in this game? But she's got her eye on the prize.
Kevin also feels like to me somebody who so desperately wants people to know that he's playing a role as well. Like he spills the beans to Jess, like you know, and it's so. Their interactions are so funny. She's like, "I'm much better socially than I'm telling people," and she's like, "I know." Like, and I'm also doing that.
Yeah,
like I get, no. As long as the two of you tell each other and don't tell anybody else, that's fine, I think. But like, they feel like they both want people to know that they're actually like playing harder than they are, and that's so dangerous to commit to that the full time.
I think there is definitely a psychological incentive to when you're not doing well socially to being like, I did that on purpose. That was, I yeah. did that. That was me.
That was did that wrong thing. That was on purpose. Actually,
it was all part of my plan.
It was my plan.
Yeah, you actually are the idiot for thinking that it was real.
Every time I say something wrong on a podcast, it's a whole plan that I have worked out. I'm playing a role on the podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
We're also going to see a bit from Business B.
This is Business B. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
It's not a good episode for Business B.
No, not at all. No. I like Betty. I don't know how much she like, how much she has to work with in the game, but I don't know. I like it. It's fun.
She is fun. She is very fun. Not doing too great, as we see by the end of the episode, but she is very fun. I do enjoy watching her on the feeds. She can be very blunt at times, which is always a good time. We get to the veto competition, and Marty is worried. Oh, this actually reminds me. What did you think of Gino on the toilet?
So silly. It's so ridiculous. I love it. I love that they kept it in. But like, yeah, he's just like having the meeting on the toilet. Yeah, Marty's like game planning with Ron and Gino. Gino's doing some other business. He's taking care of both businesses.
He's taking care of not Business B, luckily, but different kind of business. I feel like there's one shot that like is close up of Gino on the toilet, like looking in with his hand like on his face, like that has to be a meme. It has to turn into something because it's wild.
We'll get the screen grab. Yeah.
The toilet has always been an important place in Big Brother Canada. Lots of important things happen in the toilet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin Martin, you know, if he hadn't been in that toilet, where is he today? Who knows? Check out the Taran show to see where that toilet got him.
That's true. Yeah. I love it. I love that Gino's on the toilet. Back in the game strategy. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, though. He doesn't even say anything.
Yeah, he doesn't really. He doesn't chime in at all. No.
He's just sitting there.
He's just listening.
Watching from the toilet. Like he's watching the live feeds on the toilet.
Yeah, true.
All right. Well, we get to the veto competition and Marty is a bit worried because it was a great draw for Jay. And it really was. I mean, it was a great draw for either nominee, really.
Yeah.
But particularly for Jay because Josh was competing and Josh had told Jay that he would use it on Jay. Now, Jay at this time was actually very confident that they would be staying if the nom stayed the same. And so they actually said to Josh that if he won, he should not use it. But who knows what it would have actually happened.
What a roller coaster episode for Jay. They're like so sad at the beginning. They nominated, they could fight, then like what a great draw. They're good to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cake challenge. Yeah.
The cake challenge. There were a lot of puns in this competition, Grace. I was wondering, did you have any favorites?
I do love a good pun, but I get mad when I didn't come up with them. So I don't know if I have any favorites. What about you? You have a favorite?
Things can only get better from here, people.
That's good.
That was my favorite.
Things can only get better from here.
They can only get better from here. That's and the great thing about that clip is that I feel like I can use it anytime and it doesn't even need to be connected to the fun.
Just no context. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And it works both ways because you can hear it as better or you can hear it as badder and just grammatically incorrect, but whatever. It can get worse from here, essentially.
Wow, that's really good. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's an all time clip, sound clip. That's great.
Great clip.
Yeah.
It's just gonna slither in.
Yeah.
I liked this competition. I feel like we're continuing to do well with the competitions in terms of basically them just being Survivor competitions.
Which is a good thing
because Survivor competitions have always been pretty equal. Like a lot of different people tend to win Survivor challenges. And that's what we're seeing so far is that a different person has won every challenge so far. And it's a good thing. Did it go on a little longer than I wanted it to? Yes. I think, if it had ended during the cliffhanger, when it went to commercial, I feel like that would have been great amount of time for it to be on. But but you know, it was good, and it was I think a little tense. There's one shot where it zooms in on Jace's tattoo that says balance.
That's incredible. Yeah. Wow. That's great. I like the challenge. I felt like the little rolling pin was like that part. I was like, you'd probably get rid of that rolling pin. It's like, it's so, the idea is to trip them up, but I was like, I don't know if you need the rolling pin obstacle. It's a rolling pin, you know? It's so small.
Yeah. Roll it out of the way.
I don't know. Its
entire purpose is that it rolls.
Yeah.
It could not possibly be an obstacle.
Yeah. So maybe you lose the rolling pin and maybe cut one level of the cake, and probably you get the perfect amount of time for that.
It did seem like it was going to be very difficult, which is sort of the thing where it's like, the longer and more difficult the challenge is, the more you're going to see the person that's best at it get ahead, right? Like the more likely they are to win. If you want to keep things as even as possible, then you'd probably want to make it a little shorter, a little easier. But at the same time, it's like, when is this specific skill going to come back into play? Yeah. Probably not too often. So, you know, if this is what Jace is good at and this is Jace's competition, I think that's also fine for now. So it's an interesting one. And Jace is going to win the veto. It's going to make sure that she is safe this week. But this is bad news for Jay. This was a very very heartbreaking scene with Jay and Josh as Jay breaks down.
Yeah, Jay, even like during the challenge, they're struggling. Yeah. You know, just like, this is not, you know, if this is Jay's challenge, this was not Jay's challenge, really struggling to keep the cake balanced. And then afterwards, like, feeling so defeated. It is really sad. Yeah. I really like Jay, and I will be sad if they go home. But yeah. It's a problem with having a really great cast.
It is.
I don't know. I kind of don't want Betty to go home. I mean, between the two of them, I probably didn't think Betty could go, but they're both fun. I kind of don't want either of them to go. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bit of a rough draw here for that. We are going to see, though, the initial plan for the renom is Kevin. And this is true. This is true to what happened on the feeds. It initially was Jess, but Jess did a pretty good job of sort of talking themselves out of that position. So instead it landed on to Kevin, who I think also did a pretty decent job of talking himself out of that position. And it really was a sort of a combination of some worries about Betty and some other people trying to flip the vote, which they were, as we saw. In addition to conversations that Kevin was having pretty consistently with Marty, building up a relationship there and really making it seem like, you don't want to risk me. Like, this doesn't make sense. And we also saw the conversation that Jess had with Marty, you know, pretty typical of Big Brother Canada to really focus on like the Jess and Marty conversation, which was probably the least impactful conversation that, in terms of like changing his mind.
Sure.
But ultimately, he is going to change his mind, and that's when Kevin says it.
I'm actually just going to slither through.
It's so good. It's so good. They sort of both are able to play, I think Jess and Kevin play exactly into like what Marty's kind of like worst fears of the beginning of the week, right? Like when he wins HOH, goes, I need to make a big move. And he sort of has in his head that like taking out Jay is a big move. But if you, and I don't think that taking out Betty is necessarily a big move for him, but if you do put up Kevin or Jess and either of them are, they go home, Marty will feel like his, he said at the beginning of the week, this is, I'm not going to do what the house wants. You end up putting them up and then they go home. Doesn't feel like he's, you know, taking the shot like he wanted to. It feels like, he came up pretty gung ho, to win. I think maybe too early, but, so I think, they do a good job of like playing to that. Put up somebody, you know, if they go home, it will actually help your game more than if I go home. It's good.
Yeah. I'm curious about this, especially from your perspective as somebody that's not as into the feeds. We get a Kyle segment as well. Kyle is also a big part of this decision. Kyle is somebody who is very active in the game. I felt like this was, Kyle on the feeds has been, feeling a little good about himself. And I felt like we got a little bit of that in this segment. How are you feeling about Kyle in this segment?
the first thing that sort of got me on, were they going to like put Kyle in a light that, he's playing pretty hard, is when he talks about the alliance last week.
It felt cold.
So not super surprised here to see that, like, he's playing really hard. And I think that, like, the people, Jess and Kevin, it does feel like they have to play, right? Mm-hmm. In some senses. And it's worrying to me to see Kyle seemingly play so hard when it feels like he doesn't have to play. They're in the Gino in the bathroom combo. I believe, like, Marty says, like, this doesn't leave this room. You could tell Kyle, but nothing else leaves this room, right? So he's looped in, and maybe, yeah, I just feel like, maybe playing too hard. Is sort of the sense that I got when he doesn't need to, right? We talk about, like, can you go to sleep the first half of the game and then wake up? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely playing hard. And I feel like I'm glad that they're not afraid to lean into this side of Kyle, because I do think that he could make for a good villain if that's sort of the direction that we're going in the game. And I feel like he fits that role to some degree, even though sort of like the initial perception of the real Kyle Moore was, this alternate version of the other Kyle Moore. It's so funny too, because in Big Brother Canada 9, the other Kyle Moore was an underdog that people eventually kind of flocked to. Yeah. And this Kyle Moore, not so much, not an underdog. He is kind of running the show right now. So, it'll be interesting to see how all of that plays out. But, ultimately we see that Marty is going to replace Jace with Betty, and he did not tell Betty or most of the house that this was happening. This was a blindside.
So there's one hand to be like, he wants Jay gone, right? He does not want Betty to be gone. So does the actual, like, blindsiding her and making her look super sympathetic, like, oh, I can't vote out Betty, is actually better? Probably not for his long-term game, but if you're looking very short-term at, like, what happens this week, is there something to that? I'm giving Marty way too much credit, right? That's what I'm doing.
I think part of what he was going for here was what he says to people is, I didn't want them to give the other side a chance to, like, prepare something, some strategy or something, right? Which doesn't really make sense, because theoretically, like, what could they do? Like, it's not, he has the decision. Yeah. What could they do before that they couldn't do after?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I think an additional layer to that, though, is that he wanted to see how people reacted. And he feels like he really caught a bunch of people off guard. Look how many people were surprised by this. And like, they were scrambling afterward. Like, yeah, of course they were surprised. They didn't know.
Is that what you, I mean, I guess from the people he doesn't think he's going to work with, he's happy that happened, but it feels like, even in this game, don't you want them to at least, you never want to be like firmly on one side of that's like, in some ways, I guess that can work, but I don't know that he has anybody super, super close to him. Right. Mm. So I guess he thinks he has some of the guys. Right.
But yeah, well, he's with Kyle and Gino, primarily. We'll see what, but Kevin tells us, oh, well, look at this. I did it. I am off the block. I am safe for a few days. And, oh boy,
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
I'm a bad boy.
This is what he really wants us to know. He's going to, I mean, his opening video, his package was like, I'm going to play the villain. Don't worry. I'm going to play it. Yeah. He's trying very hard.
I think this one ties in with my other clip that I have of Kevin as well.
I would campaign against my own mother. I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy. I'm actually just going to slither through.
At least he's soundboard goldmine.
I think he's easily winning my soundboard right now. I think it's not very close.
That's incredible. Yeah. Yeah, he's a bad boy. Yeah. What can I say?
You're a bad boy, Kevin.
I don't think I've ever called anybody actually a bad boy. First time.
It's the first time for everything. So that was the episode. As I said, I feel like this is the first episode that really felt like it, Monday night felt like a real Big Brother episode, unlike the first two, but it was like a real boring episode. This is the first one that felt like, okay, a real episode, and it felt good, and it felt like it was giving the contestants room to breathe. And it felt like it was fleshing out the house a little more, letting us get to know some of the other players, some of the other relationships, and making it feel like, you know, this is an actual living, breathing house. I liked it.
Yeah. I thought it was good. There's still lots of people that I wish we were getting a little bit more of, like, you know, nice to see Summer by, you know, I'm very interested in Summer. Tanisha is another person, like to see a little bit more from, and obviously you can get a lot from Moose, but, you know, I'm sure their time will come on the show as, this is the story of the week, really felt like, Marty, Jess, Kevin, yeah, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you wanted to bring up from the episode?
No, I think we, you know, got through pretty much all of it. Yeah.
Nailed it. Bite-sized recap. You know, we're not gonna go into spoilers here tonight because tomorrow morning I'll be there to update you if you need some spoiler help. So make sure you tune in tomorrow morning for at 11 a.m. Eastern for the Big Brother Canada 10 live feed update, where I will go over everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. And tomorrow night there will be an eviction, and we will see our second person evicted from the Big Brother Canada 10 house. Big HOH competition coming up tomorrow night as well. So we'll see. I doubt we'll see it on the episode because that's not really Big Brother Canada's MO, but we'll see it, you know, on the feeds tomorrow night, and that'll be a good time. Not the competition, but the result. Excited for all of that. We'll, of course, be live after that eviction episode to recap what goes down there. There's all kinds of, good Big Brother stuff coming your way. Make sure you find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, to watch with me as we watch the episodes live. Tonight, I was watching this episode and then Survivor. 3 straight hours of just watching TV together. It was a good time.
So fun.
Check out all of that. And check out, if you are watching Survivor, the Survivor Stockwatch, which we are about to record. We're going to be talking about a very good Survivor premiere, I thought, and rating the players. Based on how well we think they're doing on one episode alone. It'll be a ton of wild guesses, I'm sure.
I'll be playing the role of incorrect guesser.
Of course, I also have the Taryn Show running. The latest one is with Kevin Martin, updating us on where he's at 4 years after the original Taryn Show interview I did with him. And next week, if you are a Survivor fan, Tyson Apostle be joining me for the Taryn Show. So that was another very fun one. So check all of that out. And Grace, what are you up to?
Oh, lots of stuff over on Post Show Recaps, covering Winning Time, the new HBO show about the Lakers, covering Raised by Wolves with you and Josh Wigler, weekly movie coverage, and Our Flag Means Death, and a pirate show, an HBO show as well, produced by Taika Waititi. And on Rob as a Podcast, I have a sports show. The first episode of our rebranded show is coming this week. So check that out. I believe, unless this gets changed before this exclusive for Taryn Show fans, it will be called the Off Speed Podcast. So, breaking news here. No longer the sports wrap up. We're not recapping things. We're going to dive into different worlds of sports. So, yeah, very exciting. Yeah.
Very fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you like puns,
things can only get better from here, people.
And you like wild theories, then check out our Raised by Wolves coverage.
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
Actually, this one is a lot more relevant to the Raised by Wolves podcast.
I'm actually just going to slither through.
They're actually all very good. All very, like, fitting, actually. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you tonight. I hope you enjoyed this new format. I hope you have time to listen to this podcast between the know-it-alls and tomorrow's update and tomorrow's eviction. But thank you all for joining us here, and we will see you next time.